Now it's 13 hours, Greenwich Mean Time.
In the world service of the BBC, this is Owen Bennett-Jones with NewsHour. 60 minutes of news, analysis, and comment from around the world.
And we begin with the latest from Moscow. There are signs that the coup which ousted President Gorbachev from power on Monday may be collapsing. The Russian president, Mr. Boris Yeltsin, has told Parliament that members of the committee which ousted President Gorbachev on Monday are trying to leave Moscow by air. Mr. Yeltsin said that the whole committee had gone to Vnukovo Airport. There is no confirmation of this. Earlier, delegates from the official Communist Party said they wanted to talk to Mr. Gorbachev. And in another development, there are reports from Moscow, also unconfirmed, that Soviet troops and tanks in the center of the city are being withdrawn. It's a confusing picture, and we'll be trying to clarify it for you in the course of the program. But now, let's take stock of the information we do have in the world news, and it's read by Julian Potter.
The Russian president, Mr. Boris Yeltsin, has told Parliament that members of the emergency committee which ousted Mr. Gorbachev in a coup on Monday are trying to leave Moscow by air. Mr. Yeltsin said the whole committee was at Vnukovo Airport. He said he sought and received approval from deputies to block their departure, but he didn't say where he thought they were trying to go. Mr. Yeltsin is reported to have ordered the closure of the airport. One unconfirmed report said all 8 members of the committee are under arrest. We'll bring you a report as soon as we can. Reports coming in from Moscow, meanwhile, say that Soviet troops and tanks in the center of the city since the overthrow of Mr. Gorbachev are being withdrawn. Tanks that had taken up positions next to St. Basil's Cathedral, near to Kremlin, and armored vehicles near the Soviet ministry buildings and the press center are said to have been pulled back. There's been no independent confirmation of the reports. Details are still coming in. In another development, the deputy leader of the Soviet Communist Party, Mr. Vladimir Vashko, has issued a central committee statement asking for an immediate meeting with Mr. Gorbachev. Addressed to the acting president, Mr. Gennady Yanayev, it said the meeting was necessary to clarify what is happening in the country. Earlier, a senior officer in the KGB spoke of divisions and the security police over support for the new Kremlin leadership, and he said there was a similar split in the defense ministry. The officer, General Vladimir Podolyakin, is one of 20 security chiefs recently appointed to set up a separate KGB in the Russian Federation. He told the BBC that they all regarded Mr. Yeltsin as the legal authority. We're now going back to the news that the emergency committee which ousted Mr. Gorbachev in a coup on Monday are trying to leave Moscow by air. We have this report from our Moscow correspondent, Kevin Connolly.
Every hour that passes in Moscow now appears to bring more and more remarkable news. First, it was Mr. Yeltsin's announcement that the KGB had invited him to the Crimea to see Mr. Gorbachev and bring him back to Moscow. Then the information that the Communist Party leadership are demanding a meeting with the deposed president. Now, more extraordinary still, have come reports that the 8-man emergency committee, which removed him from office just 2.5 days ago, was gathered at Vnukovo Airport to the southwest of the city. Mr. Yeltsin says he's issued instructions that they should be prevented from leaving, although it isn't clear where they wanted to go or what they were hoping to achieve. There's speculation they may have been going to see Mr. Gorbachev themselves. One unconfirmed report says all 8 are now under arrest, a claim which would normally seem incredible, but which on this extraordinary day certainly can't be ruled out.
The mayor of Russia's second city, Leningrad, Mr. Anatoly Sobchak, has asked demonstrators outside the parliament building to disperse. They had gathered there overnight in response to his call to put up barricades around the building following the events in Moscow last night. A Leningrad resident, contacted by the BBC, says Mr. Sobchak, speaking on Leningrad radio, said he expected people to return to the barricades if the need arose. The resident said the Leningrad authorities were in regular contact with Soviet army commanders on the outskirts of the city, who had given assurances during the night that tanks would not enter the center. In the Baltic republics, crowds have formed a protective cordon around the television and radio studios in the Estonian capital Tallinn. Radio broadcasts are continuing, although Soviet troops have taken control of the transmission tower outside Tallinn. Steve McCormack reports from Tallinn.
Although Soviet troops are still in control of the television and radio tower, which has taken Estonian television off the air, the local radio station is still broadcasting. Its studios and offices in the center of the city continue to be defended by barricades, although there are fewer people outside the building than there were during the night. A small column of seven Soviet armored personnel carriers, which was blocked on its way to the TV tower at dawn this morning, is still hemmed in. But both army and local people appear prepared to sit it out for some time yet without resorting to violent action of any kind. A two-hour strike called by local politicians in response to the stand being taken by Boris Yeltsin and in support of Estonian independence brought Tallinn to a near standstill as public transport, shops and businesses closed down. But the effect has been largely symbolic, as the stoppage amounts to little more than an elongated lunch hour.
Estonian radio said the authorities in neighboring Latvia had dismissed earlier reports that Soviet forces had occupied the Latvian parliament buildings in Riga and evicted the Republic's Prime Minister, Mr. Ivars Godinis. A general strike was underway in Latvia. Reports from Lithuania say Soviet soldiers there have seized broadcasting facilities in two northern towns. In the Southern Republic of Georgia, the president has issued a decree disbanding his National Guard. It's understood a compromise agreement has been reached between the Georgian leadership and local Soviet army commanders to keep Soviet troops off the streets of the capital, Tbilisi. From where Carol Walker now reports.
It appears that the Georgian leadership has made a deal with local Soviet army commanders to prevent them sending tanks into the capital, Tbilisi. The Georgian National Guard, created by President Leonid Yeltsakudia, has been dissolved, and a new Georgian special police force has been formed to replace it. The same armed guards on the parliament building now have different uniforms. The post of the commander of the Georgian Interior Ministry troops has been cancelled. The special police, responsible for maintaining order, are under the control of the Deputy Interior Minister. The commander of the Soviet tank regiment based on the outskirts of Tbilisi, Boris Suvorov, said that whilst he recognized Mr. Yanayev as the new Soviet president, the real decisions here were being taken without reference to Moscow.
A spokesman for the British Foreign Office in Brussels for the NATO Foreign Ministers meeting has said that events in the Soviet Union seem to be moving in a very positive direction. The signs look good, he said. The spokesman said NATO Foreign Ministers had drafted a communique condemning the takeover of power in the Soviet Union, but the way things were going, it might be out of date by the end of the meeting. The German government has called for a special meeting of the Crisis Committee of the Conference on Security and Cooperation in Europe to discuss developments in the Soviet Union. German leaders are also seeking to involve the states of Eastern Europe in international talks on the situation. Our correspondent in Bonn is William Horsley.
The German foreign minister has predicted in a radio interview that the attempt by hardliners in Moscow to reverse democratic reforms in the Soviet Union is doomed to fail sooner or later. He's calling for a special meeting of the so-called crisis mechanism of the 35-nation Conference on Security and Cooperation in Europe to discuss the Soviet crisis. List proposed this formally at today's meeting of NATO foreign ministers in Brussels. Mr. Hans-Dietrich Genscher is the chairman of that body, which was convened earlier this month to try to resolve the conflict in Yugoslavia. It's understood such a meeting could take place even without the official consent of Soviet authorities. Another senior German politician, Mr. Volker Ruhr, Secretary General of Chancellor Kohl's Christian Democratic Union, has proposed that Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and Poland should take part in next Friday's meeting of European Community Heads of Government. He said that turbulent events inside the Soviet Union made it imperative that the process of bringing these young democracies closer to the EC should be speeded up.
You're listening to the BBC World Service. And this is NewsHour. Let's have a summary of the world news now with Julian Potter.
There are signs that the coup which ousted President Gorbachev from power on Monday may be collapsing. The president of the Russian Federation, Mr. Boris Yeltsin, has told the Russian parliament that members of the hardline emergency committee which ousted Mr. Gorbachev on Monday are trying to leave Moscow by air. There's no confirmation of this from other sources. Mr. Yeltsin said the intentions of the committee were uncertain, but they might be trying to flee. Mr. Yeltsin gave orders to officials at Vnukovo Airport to stop the committee leaving, and reports say he also ordered the closure of the airport. One unconfirmed report said all eight members of the committee are under arrest. Some news just in. The American television channel CNN has quoted camera crews at Vnukovo Airport who say they were told by airport security officers that the coup leader, Mr. Yanayev, and the KGB chief, Mr. Kryuchkov, had left for an undisclosed destination. They say black official cars are still parked there, and that shortly after the two men departed, the vice president of the Russian Federation, Mr. Alexander Ruskoy, left on a separate plane for the Crimea. Earlier, Mr. Yeltsin told Parliament that Mr. Gorbachev is being held at a house south of the Crimean resort of Yalta, surrounded by three cordons of troops. He said there had been two unsuccessful attempts to free him, but gave no details. Television pictures from Moscow have shown tanks, armored personnel carriers, and other military vehicles on the move in Moscow, apparently being withdrawn from the center of the city to the cheers of bystanders. Tanks, which had been stationed next to St. Basil's Cathedral near the Kremlin, and armored vehicles near the Soviet Foreign Ministry buildings and press center, are said to have been pulled back.